Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Christina Spouty, and I'm serving as a worship associate this morning. I'm joined in welcoming you by the Reverend Tim Timmerson, who is our guest today from the UU Church of Akron. We do have a special announcement this morning from Saunas Parsons and Sandy Bowers, accompanied... Sandy Eaglin. accompanied by Bob Erdman.
As you all know, it's canvas season, and I'm a canvasser. I've been asked by my church to make those calls, and like many of you, I'm more than a little uncomfortable calling people up and asking them for money. So I've been very nervous about this, and I had a dream of finding the perfect canvassee, and so Sandy has agreed to help me illustrate that today. So imagine me sitting in my kitchen one morning, being all UU-y, since I have my Equal Exchange coffee and my UU world, when my friendly neighborhood canvasser comes to call. Oh, somebody's here.
Good morning.
Hello.
Mrs. Parsons?
Yes.
My name is Sandy Eaglin, and I'm from the UU Church of Kent. Uh-huh. And I'm really self-conscious about bothering you today. I hope I'm not bothering you
not
too much.
Problem,
but
not a problem. Not a problem. Come on in.
My minister twisted my arm.
I know. She's like that. Come on in.
Well, I wanted to talk to you today about maybe supporting your church a little bit.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. Why don't you have a seat?
Okay.
Just sit right down here. Hit it, big boy. I've got what you want. I've got what you need. I know how much you want it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. If we don't share in this mission, it just might die. So I will give in to you and fill out my pledge card too. Then you will shout for joy, and so will I.
Words from our chalice lighting this morning are from Max Dupree. We need to give each other the space to grow, to be ourselves, to exercise our diversity. We need to give each other space so that we may both give and receive such beautiful things as ideas, openness, dignity, joy, healing, and inclusion.
Good morning. Nice to see you all this morning. Wow, that was one of the most fantastic stewardship advertisements I've ever seen. I'm moved, I might pick a pledge card up myself on the way out. So, well, good morning again and welcome. Welcome, friends, to a day for celebrating all that we share in common. A hunger for truth and meaning. A yearning for justice and peace, a deep and abiding need to give and receive love and compassion. Welcome to a day in which we also celebrate our differences and our diversity, our different beliefs and values, our diverse stories and life experiences, our many, many paths to truth, justice, and love. Welcome to a day for opening our hearts and our minds with humility and compassion to the blessings of unity and to the beauty of diversity. Come, let us worship together.
The wisdom words this morning are from Wendell Berry. And we pray not for new earth or heaven, but to be quiet in heart and an eye clear. What we need is here. And today we are also celebrating with Elaine Bowen. Elaine was the recipient of the OMD's 2012 Unsung Hero Award, which she received on Friday evening.
This morning we're going to be talking a great deal about acceptance, celebration of difference, and I'm mindful that that work takes us beyond ourselves, but in many ways it's work that's deep inside of us. And I want to offer a prayer this morning from the Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh, which I think speaks wonderfully to the importance of that mindful internal journey that we all need to make. I invite you to join with me now for a moment of prayer and meditation. Let us be at peace with our bodies and our minds. Let us return to ourselves and be fully ourselves. Let us be aware of the source of being, common to us all and to all living things. Evoking the presence of the great compassion, let us fill our hearts with our own compassion, compassion toward ourselves and towards all living things. Let us pray. Let us pray that we ourselves cease to be the cause of suffering to each other. With humility, with awareness of the existence of life and sufferings that are going on around us, let us practice the establishment of peace in our hearts and on earth. Amen.
Our reading this morning is by David Blanchard, A Larger Tapestry of Meaning. There is room on our path for any person who seeks a more complete understanding of what is true and good in life. The answers can't be found if you only ask men. The answers can't be found if you ask only Christians. They can't be found if you ask only gay people. They can't be found if you ask just yourself. The answers come from listening to people of great diversity and weaving their small truths into a larger tapestry of meaning.
Well, let me just say again, it's a great, great pleasure to be with you this morning. I want to thank Christina and Stephanie and Karen and everyone here who's made today possible. I especially want to thank Melissa, of course, she's not here for me to thank her. She's over in Akron this morning, and I have to say I love the whole concept of the pulpit exchange. It's a wonderful opportunity for folks like you to hear from different perspectives and different voices, and I just love getting out on the road and meeting new people, and so I hope this is something that we can do on a regular basis. And I have to say, I'm a big fan of this congregation. This is my first time here on a Sunday, but I certainly follow all the great work that you're doing for social justice and in the community. And so it's just really wonderful to be here this morning. Well, I want to begin by sharing a story with you, a story I think about what it means to experience and to be opened and transformed by an encounter with difference and diversity. Now, this is a story from my own experience. It takes place when I was working as a student chaplain during my unit of clinical pastoral education. I know Renee can relate to that. At a hospital in the Boston area, which is where I went to seminary. Now, as a chaplain, my main job was to visit with patients. And mostly, when I visited with patients, I would listen as they shared their fears and their hopes and talked about their families, their life stories, and their faith. And sometimes I would offer or be asked to pray with or for a patient. Now, on a particular morning, I think it might have been a Tuesday, I received a request to visit and pray with a patient whose name I'll call her Esther. Now, Esther was in her, I'd say, mid to late 70s. She was a Baptist and a recent immigrant from Haiti. Esther did not speak or understand a word of English. But before I made my way to the floor, I was told that one of the nurses on Esther's floor was also Haitian, and that she had very graciously offered to translate. Well, as I made my way to Esther's room, I began thinking about my past experiences in the hospital praying with patients. Now, when I began my unit of what we call CPE, I have to say there was nothing for me that was more intimidating or nerve-wracking than being asked to pray. Prayer had never been part of my own spiritual life, and the thought of praying in general, and especially with folks who had very different beliefs than my own, well, that not only left me feeling uncertain and confused, but I'll just say it right now, pretty scared. But as time went on, I grew more comfortable with prayer. And I would even say that I developed a prayer strategy, which I used whenever I would visit a patient. You see, what I would do, this was my strategy, I would listen to them very carefully as they would share their thoughts and their feelings. I would, as they would talk, make mental notes. When I first started, I even wanted to take notes, but I knew that probably wasn't too cool. So I would make mental notes, which then, when the time for prayer came, I would draw on. Those notes might contain things they had shared about their family, their feelings, or their faith. By lifting up and sometimes repeating some of their words, I hoped that my prayer would reflect what was in their hearts and in their minds. Now, I think my prayer strategy, at least for me, felt pretty Unitarian Universalist. I mean, for one thing, I was really trying to focus my attention on the needs of the individual in front of me rather than trying to bring in my own theological ideas and trying to foist that onto them. And I also, this is the other UU part of it, I focused a great deal of my energy and attention on the words, on the content of the prayers, doing my best to discover what the patient needed and then striving to find just the right words to meet those needs. So I would say that prayer for me before that day when I visited Esther was all about the patient, which was good, but it was also, I think it was pretty intellectual. It was all about crafting those words, just the right words, the correct words. Well, that morning, as I walked to Esther's room, I was thinking and wondering how well my prayer strategy with a patient who didn't speak English, how well that would work. Now, I had used translators a couple of times before. I worked at a fairly large hospital in Boston with a very diverse population of folks. And I have to say, I had found it hard to understand on those prior occasions what the patient was saying or feeling. In fact, I had felt so lost during those previous visits that I had ended up not offering prayer at all. That's pretty terrible. It sounds pretty terrible, and it was. But I had my strategy, right? Without the proper inputs into my little prayer computer, I was lost. I didn't know what to do. Now, while I blamed my difficulty with those patients on the language barrier, I knew in my heart that there was more to it than that. You see, while I've always thought of myself as a very tolerant and open-minded person, the truth of the matter is that encountering people who are very different from me has always left me feeling so very uncertain. Uncertain not only about what to say or not to say, but also uncertain about exploring and discussing those differences. That's why I think it's fair to say that I've spent so much of my life being tolerant of difference without really engaging it, learning from it, and being open to being transformed by it. Now, tolerance has long been celebrated as a core value of Unitarian Universalism. We tolerate those who are different rather than condemning or trying to convert them. In fact, one historian famously boiled the Unitarian side of our heritage down to three key values: freedom, reason, and tolerance. But for all of its strengths, I think the concept of tolerance has outlived its usefulness, and I think it needs to be replaced. I mean, think about it for a moment. When we say we're tolerant of someone or something, what we're really saying is that although we recognize our differences, but in being tolerant, I think what we're ultimately saying is that we're in the right, we have truth on our side. We will put up with difference, but we won't make the effort to explore it or acknowledge the possibility that we have something to learn from it. Nick Carter, who's a Baptist minister and is the president of my seminary, Andover Newton, I like the way he defines tolerance. Listen to this. He says, tolerance is a negative judgment wrapped up in avoidance. Tolerance is a negative judgment wrapped up in avoidance. And Nick goes on to say that tolerating something or someone is a kind of, and I'm glad this phrase is disappearing from our lingo, it's a kind of don't ask, don't tell approach to engaging with a stranger. I'll do it my way, you can do it your way, and we will do all in our power to avoid really talking or listening or appreciating one another. But if tolerance has outlived its usefulness as a concept, what should it be replaced with? Now, in many ways, I think Unitarian Universalism is on the right path in that we affirm acceptance of one another in our principles and purposes. Now, I think of acceptance as a kind of warm-hearted tolerance, not simply putting up with difference, but welcoming it into our communities and into our lives. We Unitarian Universalists can and should be proud of our commitment to acceptance, and especially to how that commitment has helped us welcome and accept our LGBTQ brothers and sisters into our congregations, into the ministry, and into our lives. And yet, I'm still not sure that acceptance by itself ultimately gets us where we need to be. You see, although acceptance is warm-hearted and welcoming, it still doesn't really challenge us to engage with difference, to listen to and learn from the other, and to open ourselves to the beauty and the transforming power of diversity. If I could point to one thing that's missing, not only from the concepts of tolerance and acceptance, but I would also say from our own Unitarian Universalist experience with difference and diversity, I think that one thing would be humility. You see, in the midst of our tolerance and even our acceptance of difference, what I think has been missing is recognition that those who are different have something vital to offer, something that we need in order to be whole and to make our journeys of the Spirit. And that something is truth. The truth that lives in their beliefs, in their experiences, in their journeys of the Spirit. If we are to weave what David Blanchard calls a larger tapestry of meaning, we must open our hearts and our minds to not only those who are like us and with whom we agree, but also to those who are different and with whom we share little in common. You know, I was going to put this on the pulpit, but then I thought, no, I've actually knocked my water over twice in the pulpit in Akron before. I have, it's a kind of running joke there, so I thought maybe I better leave it on the back table. So, now, opening our hearts and minds to diversity and difference, it's challenging. And I learned how challenging it is that morning in the hospital. I want to finish that story now that I started with. When I got to Esther's room, she and the nurse were waiting for me. I introduced myself, and then I began as I always did when following my prayer strategy, by, you know, pulling out my list of questions. How are you feeling today? Do you have family in the area? What's your religious background? And so on. Now, the nurse translated my questions, and Esther tried her best to answer them. I could tell from the expressions on their faces that something was wrong. They looked at one another as if they didn't understand what I was doing. At one point, the nurse very gently reminded me that Esther had requested just that I pray for her, and that prayer was all that she needed from me. I got to tell you, when the nurse said that, I felt annoyed. I mean, this is my prayer strategy. Come on. I mean, she was interrupting my routine. How was I going to get the right words if I didn't get a chance to ask my questions? So rather than listening to the nurse, I pushed on, asking Esther to tell me more about her life, her family, and her faith. And the longer I talked, the more confused and exasperated both the nurse and Esther became. So finally, the nurse had had enough. She interrupted me pretty abruptly and said for the second time, "Look, all Esther wants is for you to pray for her. You don't need to know anything about her. You don't even need me to translate. Just pray, and she will follow you." Follow me? I couldn't imagine what the nurse meant by that. I mean, Esther and I were separated by so many differences and so many barriers. Age, race, language, religion, nationality. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Esther and I were truly, truly strangers. I didn't know what to do. So I was out of desperation and frustration. I thought to myself, after the nurse said that, I thought internally, fine, okay. So I closed my eyes and I said, okay, Esther's a Christian. I only know one Christian prayer, the Lord's Prayer. So I thought, this is a complete waste of time. She'll have no idea what I'm saying, but okay, this is what I've been asked to do, so this is what I'll do. So I began to pray. And when I began to pray, something completely unexpected and truly remarkable happened. You see, after I finished saying the first line of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven," Esther repeated it in a soft and barely audible voice, "Our Father who art in heaven." After I said the next line, she repeated it, and the one after that, until we got to the end of the prayer. Now, I have to say that although I was the one who had come that morning to offer prayer and comfort, something remarkable happened to me in that hospital room something that has forever changed the way I understand not only prayer, but also what it means to be a spiritual being and what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist. You see, as Esther repeated the words of the Lord's Prayer, I went from feeling so anxious and frustrated to feeling so very, very connected. Connected to her and to something that was holy and beautiful and present in that room. Esther taught me that prayer is not ultimately, it's not ultimately about saying the right thing or getting the words just right, but instead that prayer is about being deeply connected and about being in the presence of the holy. In fact, that's what how I've come to understand the meaning of spirituality. Deep connection to oneself, to others, to the universe, and to the sacred. And although I can point to many experiences and people who have shaped that understanding, I don't think I would have come to this point had it not been for that amazing moment with that amazing teacher, Esther. An extraordinarily wise and deeply spiritual person who was so very different from me and from whom I had so very much to learn. That moment in Esther's room will forever be part of my larger tapestry of meaning, and I'm so very grateful and blessed for her presence in my spiritual life. And I think as my experience with Esther reveals, encountering difference and embracing diversity can be so very difficult and challenging. It can feel like we're in another world, on another planet. It can be completely, completely lost. But I think if we can find the courage and, yes, especially the humility, which I lacked when I walked into that room, if we can find the courage and the humility to welcome and to be open to difference, I believe, I know that we will find ourselves in a sacred place, in a holy place, a place in which we can truly listen, learn, and be transformed. So let us commit ourselves as Unitarian Universalists and as seekers after truth. Let us commit ourselves to opening our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to the beauty and the wisdom of the other. Because when we enter a place where difference is celebrated rather than simply tolerated, we can and will weave that beautiful tapestry of meaning, a tapestry guiding us along a path to truth, compassion, and love. Thank you very much for listening, and blessed be.
Right now we're going to take a few moments for a message about our annual stewardship drive.
We often refer to our church as the beloved community, and with good reason. Within our community, we find friendship, support, and encouragement, and all the powerful connections of a social community. Our beloved community means so much to all of us.
All of us started out here as strangers, but over time, we were surrounded by love and brought into this community.
Whether through our services or our activities, we have come to know, accept, and love each other. We worship together, we play together, we watch the children of our beloved community grow into adulthood. We celebrate the seasons of life together. Occasionally, we grieve, taking solace in the fact that while our brothers and sisters have made a transition, they have left us memories and wonderful gifts. There is meaning and value in the lives we live.
Like any community, our beloved community needs our support to continue with the programs and services we offer. Just like your household, our church has bills to pay.
This year, our financial leaders are using a new approach to help us understand the fiscal operations of the church in a way that is easier to visualize. The pie chart and the gazillion references to pie will help move us to a new way of thinking about our financial contributions and support.
Pie. Think about the wonderful metaphor there. All of us sharing that UU pie. All the pairs of hands loving making that pie, gathering the ingredients, mixing them together, letting the forces of chemistry and interaction work, and finally serving that pie in the spirit of hospitality to both our beloved community and the community beyond.
As you take time to think about your pledge for the upcoming year, remember that when you were yet a stranger, this beloved community offered you a place to come and grow. And now it's your turn to make that good old UU pie.
And now our offering will be gratefully received.
Friends, I want to leave you this morning with these words from Ellen Johnson Fay. Do justly this day and every day. Be of good will. Walk humbly before the mysteries of life and before that gulf which separates us from the ideals we profess. Live in peace and praise. Our day is just beginning. May it be so. Blessed be. Go in peace.